This is CliffCentral.com.
I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to shed some light on the fact that we are not alone in our challenges that face students and academics, frankly, at higher learning institutions. Because Kirsten O'Brien is here, and she listened to the podcast the other day with Mohammed Chinara, who we had in. He's a student, and he was telling us how he wants to try and fix some of the things on his campus. Hey, Kirsten, nice to meet you.
Hello, thank you. Nice to be here.
Cool. So you're at Harvard.
I am, yes.
What are you doing at Harvard? You don't sound American at all.
I am a South African girl, born and raised, and moved to the States about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I got a job there, and I've been for the last 5 years sort of getting an insight as to how things are working.
You're not studying at Harvard? You work there?
No, I work there in the administration side of things, particularly with funding.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so I mentioned earlier how expensive college is in America.
Yeah.
Students who have to try and find funding for themselves, and that's very nearly impossible, end up spending 10 years of their life after they qualify paying it back.
Yeah. And it's very common in the States. It's the way it is, and it's sort of accepted.
And they've got universities all over the place.
All over. I mean,
we've got maybe 10, 12.
And that's a big problem here. I mean, the supply and demand situation mm-hmm. really is a bit scary. I wanted to highlight something. So I actually had an opportunity to study in the States, but couldn't actually afford to do so. So I came back to South Africa to go to the school systems here so that I could actually afford it.
Wow.
So that just goes to show, I mean, even with financial aid and things like that, you know, there are people who sort of fall through the cracks that really can't get there.
And this in the first world economy that is America, where supposedly you could pursue your dream and you can go to some of these Ivy League colleges, which are among the best in the whole world.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go to Stanford, Harvard, or Yale, or any of those, Columbia, MIT, these are the best schools in the world. This is where all the billionaires are coming from. And they're unaffordable?
So actually, I was really surprised when I got to Harvard to see the diverse backgrounds from every social economic status you can possibly imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Harvard and all these Ivy Leagues are actually in a very good position because of the endowments that they have. They are able to, I think it's 55% of Harvard undergrads are currently on some kind of financial aid. So it was quite surprising. I mean, I had this image of, you know, these, you know, very wealthy, predominantly white children that mm-hmm. were, you know, there, and it wasn't the case at all.
So in other words, when you talk about endowments, this is usually what alumni give back to the universities. And sometimes these endowments are billions and billions of dollars.
Exactly. And that was something, you know, when I was listening to Mohammed talk the other day, that really struck me as something that's missing from the South African university context. I mean, we have, I went to school here, and I don't have any sort of engagement with my university that would encourage me as a now someone who's out there earning to be encouraged to come and give back to the school.
Well, we found out this morning that the NSFAS students who get loans, government loans to go and study, only 12% of them ever pay those back. Now, I mean, that's kind of crazy, because that means that there isn't any desire to even pay back what you technically got for nothing, let alone contribute back into the university. I don't know a lot of people who go to regular kind of alumni meetings and make contributions, big donations. Obviously, there are exceptions, but it's really not the culture here.
And that's a huge problem. This culture of philanthropy amongst especially the Ivy Leagues in the schools are why they are so competitive and why they're able to attract the best talent in the world and why they're able to sustain themselves and their students and provide financial aid. So it's something that really the universities should be focusing on, to bring in these wealthy individuals who, you know, a lot of them have probably benefited from the school system here, gone off to the States or to Europe. And a lot of, I mean, they're South Africans. They're very sort of successful. They make it work for themselves.
Absolutely.
And they should be approached and say, look, you know, you've benefited from this. How can we engage you so you can come back or at least be involved in some capacity to help the South African universities that helped you get to where you are now?
Right. Now, when you walk around on campus at Harvard, you say that it's very diverse and there are a lot of students who are helped through there with financial aid, and you work in that office. What kind of cost are we talking about? Because a lot of parents, I suppose, of students in South Africa who can afford to send their kids away because they look at universities at the moment and they go, uh-oh, doesn't look like they're going to finish this academic year. It looks like it's been a waste of my money. I would rather work myself to the bone to send my kids overseas. What kind of fees are we talking about? If you didn't get financial aid, how much would it cost you?
I think it averages out to about $40,000 a year.
$40,000 a year. Whew. That's unaffordable.
For most it is.
And yeah. Then you have to worry about accommodation, and you have to worry about all the extra costs and transport and all the rest of it. So actually it's just, unless you are making but millions upon millions.
Well, they say so 20%, around 20% of the parents of these students are actually making under $65,000 a year.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so they are putting structures in place, but that's, again, only at these institutions that can afford to do so.
And are they very, very particular about letting only the cream of the crop in terms of people who've shown massive potential at schools?
That's,
because you don't want
to waste.
That's
the reality with a Harvard education or with, it's on merit. I mean, it is what it is. But they never want to exclude anyone who is capable because of a financial reason. They do whatever they can in order to incorporate them into the system.
Well, I mean, what's it like working there?
I enjoy it. I think it's definitely a bit of a culture shock for, you know, a South African girl to go in, and it's very steeped in tradition. And
any famous kids there?
Yeah, there's a few that come through there.
But they have a knock on your window and go, hey, I need to talk about this. I was overcharged for this.
Yeah, no, we don't really get too many of those. I don't think they even quite pay attention.
Yeah.
But no, it's been an incredible experience. But I think it's very eye-opening to see for someone who does care so much about what happens here in South Africa.
What do you think of what's going on the campuses at the moment? Because it was about fees originally. You could debate whether it's about that anymore.
Yeah, I think I 100% understand the sentiment, and I absolutely agree with the ideal, but seeing the way that universities work and being in the thick of things, I think the reality is we have to come up with some sort of plan, and then the only way that we're going to be able to do that is to be able to start from stability. And right now, there's no stability. These protests are a bit scary. I mean, it's just, I think it's gone a bit too far now, and I think it's time to say, okay, everyone, we get it now. Let's get to the table and actually do some work here. Let's get it on paper.
Right. Miss Mary, you see, we've got very smart listeners here. I mean, you're one of them. So that's how you heard about this. You heard about that Muhammad podcast, right?
Muhammad Chinara. Yes, I was listening to him talking. Right.
So here's Mary. She says, Gareth, I'd suggest you listen to Malcolm Gladwell's podcast. He did a very interesting podcast in My Little 100 Million. He examines the trend of billionaires donating hundreds of millions in endowments larger than some countries' GDPs. Harvard has an endowment of over $35 billion. Can you believe that? They won't ever run out of money, will they?
It's a perpetual system, you know. They're not going to, but...
No, and their students will keep donating to them, right?
Exactly, but it's because they've created this culture of philanthropy that will... It inspires people to keep giving back to where they came from and to keep networking with the same people. It's just this perpetuation.
Money attracts money.
Exactly.
In this case, clever and money is a great combination.
Exactly.
All right. Well, listen, thanks for coming to talk to us this morning.
Thank you.
And all the best at Harvard. And it's good to hear a perspective from the outside, because we often tend to look only inward. And actually, these challenges are being faced at universities across the world. If you have any other solutions, or you can send in any of that $35 billion endowments to South African universities, that would be great.
Working on it.
You realize if they gave us $1 billion from Harvard, it would sort out all of our universities in one fell swoop? Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
If only. Anyway, thank you very much.
Thanks, Kirsten, for having me, Gareth.
Very nice to meet you. Kirsten O'Brien, who's she works at Harvard, and she had an interesting take there that I think we could all benefit from in terms of how higher education works in Ivy League universities in the States. If you'd like to know more, where can we get hold of you? Where can we find out more?
You can email me. My address is kobrien@hsph.harvard.edu.
That is one complicated email address. All right, you'll have to rewind that in the podcast. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Kirsten, so much.
Very good.
This is CliffCentral.com.